specifically from Pepsi Competitor Studios. Today we're going to make a fish as well, which is traditionally a potato and leek soup. But I thought we'd change it up a little bit. We're going to do a sweet potato and leek soup, and we're going to just give it a try and see how that works. I'm fairly certain it should work quite well. Maybe add a sweet turn to it, but it'll work. So the first thing, the most important ingredients that we need is obviously the potato and the leek. I'm going to take you through step by step how we're going to prepare and clean the leek, and then we'll prepare and clean that sweet potato, and then we'll get cooking on that. So I've got a long leek. It's about, I don't know, about 30 centimeters plus leek, and this will make a nice soup for about 4 to 6 people. And the thickness of the leek is about, I don't know, about 1.5 centimeters in diameter or so. It's not a very big leek. What we want to use is obviously the firmest part of the leek, because the leafy bit is too fibrous, so it really does add a coarseness to the soup, and we're looking for something really, really smooth, sort of velvety in texture. So when I start with the leek, I'm going to feel where is the majority of the leaves, and I'm going to cut about 2 centimeters below from where the leaves end, so where the stem actually becomes more firm. Just toss that away. What's very important is that I need to make sure that the leek still has its roots intact. And what I'll be doing is to remove the leaves, the roots, but I need to make sure that the basal plate is still intact. So the little bit where the roots come out of the leek, I need to make sure that that's still intact so that it holds the leek together when I slice it in half to wash it. Now, the way that the leeks are grown, they earthed up, so there's a lot of soil between the layers of the leeks, which is important for us to remove. But if I cut off the roots completely, it's just going to end up falling apart when I wash it. So it's important to keep the basal plate intact. Also, I want to trim the basal plate just ever slightly. Just remove any roots that are sticking out from the basal plate, because those are a source of bacillus, which is a bacteria, and it's a nasty one. It does cause food poisoning. And the reason this is important to know is because a leek obviously is grown in soil, and bacillus is a soil-borne bacteria which can cause food poisoning for us. So get those removed, and then I'm going to slice the leek lengthwise in half through the basal plate, working my way up to where the leaves were. By rinsing the leaves, I'm just going to bend them. I'm just going to bend them, rinse them under cold water so that the water can come in between the different layers, so each of the leaf stems essentially. And just rinse off all the soil, make sure that there's no soil stuck in there. Alright, then I'm going to feel the outside of the leek, and there might be some very soft, flimsy outer layers. You just want to peel those off all the way back, and just pull them off the basal plate. And so you can feel that the layers are becoming more firm. You should peel about, there's maybe 2 or 3 of the outer layers that you want to peel back. So I'm going to slice it crossways, and I'm slicing it about 3 millimeters, roughly. It doesn't have to be perfectly 3 millimeters, because you're going to put this through a blender. So the size of your leek is not too important, but it is important that you try and get them fairly similar in size, in order for the leek to actually cook evenly, so you don't have raw bits and overcooked bits as you cook them. And when you get to the basal part, so the basal plate, you don't want to add that to the soup, so you're going to cut that off and remove it. So the basal plate has done its job, it's kept the entire leek intact, so now I don't end up with a huge mess of these little slivers all over my cutting board. Then my next step is going to be to wash and peel the sweet potatoes. I need to do my mise en place first. And mise en place simply means getting all of your ingredients ready just to this point where you're actually going to start cooking them. Just rinsing the sweet potato quickly, getting rid of any soil that might be there. A helpful hint is that you can use a clean little scorer, like the sponge with the green scorer on top. You can use that and use the scorer side and just gently scrub the sweet potato. That makes sure that there's no little fibrous roots sticking to it or any soil sticking to it. Now, generally, you would leave the skin on a sweet potato purely because it does provide some color, but a vichyssoise is a white soup, so we don't want to have any color on this. So we're going to peel it. Also, we want to make sure that we don't have any soil. You can cut this in chunks, sort of crossways, just with the width of the potato, just to make it manageable to handle. We will cube it once we're done. So just using a sharp peeler, I'm just peeling off all of the different sides. You can use a knife as well, if you're comfortable with the knife. And I'm just removing the skins of the sweet potato. If you do feel any rough bits, or maybe bits that are a little bit too soft, then you can just use the tip of the knife to remove them. Those will be bits that are no longer very fresh or nice to eat. So just remove the skins. Alright, now I do need to work fairly quickly because sweet potato has a tendency to oxidize, which means it will change color and turn brown. So not a very appealing color for something that you intend on eating, unless it's chocolate, of course. That's the only brown stuff we want to eat. And then I'm just going to cut the sweet potato into quarters lengthwise so that I can get nice, even chunks of the potato. Then I'm cutting it each quarter into half, so I've got little strips. They're about a centimeter and a half. And then just roughly cube them. So, again, you want to try and get the sweet potato cubes to be more or less uniform in size. And I'm working on a 1.5 centimeter by 1.5 centimeter cube. Just for the sweet potato to cook fairly quickly. Just cut all of my bits into like fat chips, really, 1.5 centimeter slices. Then cut into cubes again, the same size, 1.5 by 1.5 centimeter. It does not have to be exact, again, because we're going to put this through a blender, so it will be a puree, but we do want to promote even cooking. Alright, and that is about all the mise en place done concerning this soup. Now the next step will be to get our pot onto the stove. I'm using a small induction cooker. And I do want to work on a fairly sort of medium temperature. So a medium high temperature I would go for. And then I'll start by adding about a tablespoon worth of butter. That. Now this is a very rich dish. So we're starting with a tablespoon of butter. And what we're going to start is to just saute the leeks, or very lightly sweat them rather, not saute, because we don't want to change the color on the leeks. So as soon as I can hear the butter starting to fizz and bubble, I just want to make sure that it's completely melted. And as soon as I can hear it really bubbling and sizzling, that means it will be ready. Then I'll turn the heat down for a fairly low heat. I don't want to sweat the vegetables on a high heat. Give that a minute or two. And by the quality of the butter, I'm making sure it's completely melted. I can hear that it's really sizzling, so that means it's quite hot. So then I'm going to just turn down my temperature. I want a low temperature to cook the leeks, because I don't want to brown them. I just want them to sweat. So in other words, I want them to just soften a little bit. Leeks tend to be quite fibrous, which means that they will be chewy. So they do require a little bit of cooking in order to get them nice and soft. And what we're going to add to this, using a piece of parchment, and I'm going to create what is called a cartouche. So a cartouche is a piece of baking paper, which is spread with melted butter on the one side. And you're just looking for a piece of paper that is just big enough to fit inside of the pot. The aim here is to create like a paper lid, but the lid is sitting directly on top of the leeks. And this is going to prevent them from browning. So just spread a little bit of butter. On the side, they will be in contact with the leeks to not stick to the parchment paper. And the shape of the parchment doesn't really matter because you're just going to crunch it up and put it on top of the leaves. And you want it to be directly in contact with them. So with my cartouche directly on top of the leaves, I will now just leave that for around 2 to 3 minutes. My aim is just to soften the leaves, not to brown them or to color them in any way. So in the meantime, I can just keep my potatoes from growing brown, I'll just place them in a little bit of water, cold water. And then just in between your 1 or 2 minutes, you want to just lift up the cartouche, sort of paper lining on top of the leeks, and just give them a little stir. The idea is to prevent leeks from sticking on it, and then dry it out so the paper will not absorb any moisture from the leeks, making them dry and then eventually burning them. So I've got about a tablespoon of butter in there, and I want the flavor to develop in the butter. So I'm kind of infusing the butter with the flavor of the leeks. Now, an optional ingredient that you could use here is a chili. Now, I'm using a bird's eye chili, and I'm not going to add a lot because we don't want the heat. This chili is around, say about 3 finger lengths. Let's say about 4 or 5 centimeters. And I'm going to cut it lengthways in half. And I do want to remove as many of the seeds as I possibly can. Now, the easiest way to do this is hold the chili flat, skin side down on the cutting board. Take your knife at a 90-degree angle and then just scrape it over the chili so you can remove the seeds. Scrape the seeds off of the knife's edge and just feel on the chili that there are no seeds. The seeds will be little hard bits that we don't want, purely because they do add extra heat. Now, the heat from the chili is caused through a chemical, and it's an oil-based chemical called capsaicin. And the more capsaicin chili contains, the stronger the flavor, or the higher the heat. So I'm using literally a 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter piece of the chili. I don't want the heat in the soup, I just want the flavor. And I'm just going to, as thinly as possible, just slice through the chili, that tiny little piece of chili that I have, and I'm going to add that to the leeks at this stage. My leeks have now been cooking for about 2 minutes. They've just started softening up. And I can test this by taking my wooden spoon and lift it up through the leeks and just feel the leeks with your fingers. If you're able to squish them and they sort of start feeling pasty between your fingers, that's when they're ready. So they're not solid leek anymore, they've now almost disintegrated into something like a paste. They're not pasty, they're not a paste yet, but they're very, very soft and you're able to squash them, so disintegrate them between your fingers. Alright, I've added my chili, I'm just going to give that a stir quickly. And I don't need to, again, I don't want the heat in the soup, it's a very creamy, very rich soup. So by adding the chili, I'm kind of breaking the rules on a vicious soy just a little bit, but we do want to incorporate some extra flavor, and seeing as we're not doing the traditional vicious soy, we can play around a bit. My leeks are now beautifully soft, no color on them. If you smell them, you can smell distinct butter and leek fragrance. You can really smell the leeks, which is exactly what we mean. That's another indication that the leeks are ready. If I were to cook this any longer, it will start browning. So again, by lifting it through the spoon, you're lifting your spoon through the leeks, and then just taking a small piece of the leek and pressing it through your fingers, you can feel the doneness. It must be very, very soft. Now, to the butter and the leeks, I'm adding my sweet potatoes. I'll take 2 cups worth of sweet potato. And what I do want to do is just lightly saute the potato in the butter, just for a minute or so, just to absorb the flavor from the sweet potato. I don't want to change the color again, because it's a very pale white soup, and it is a cream-based soup, essentially, but it is very, very rich. Give that a good stir. Make sure that the sweet potato is completely covered. You can do that again. Lift up one of the potato cubes, so just lift your spoon to the potato and feel it. If you can feel the butter on the potato, then you've covered all of them. Now, saute that literally a minute, maybe 2 minutes at most. And I have some options that I can use here concerning my potato soup. I can add a vegetable stock if I wanted to add some more flavor in terms of the vegetable flavor. Or I can just go with plain water. Whichever liquid you decide on using, you want to make sure that it's cold. You never start cooking potatoes from hot, because it will just take the potato contrary. It'll take the potato longer to start cooking than when you start with cold water. Also, using the cold water, you actually increasing the temperature and cooking the potatoes more evenly, because they all heat up at the same time. So the core of the potato heats up at the same time as the water, as opposed to adding hot water and the outside of the potato starts cooking while the core is still raw and hard. So when you make mash and you end up with a lumpy mash, that's probably what happened. So give that another stir. That's just about ready. It's absorbed as much of the butter as it's going to in this period. So we'll start it. I'm just using straight cold water. And I'm adding enough cold water to cover the potatoes. So being 2 cups of potato, I'm adding about 2.5 to 3 cups of water. Now you can also check this after you've stirred the potatoes. After you've stirred your soup, you can check this by just touching the surface of the potatoes. If you press on one of the potatoes and it bobs down into the liquid, then it means it's covered sufficiently. Now we'll bring that to a boil. It's going to take a while. It'll take about 10 minutes or so to start boiling because I'm adding an ice cold liquid and I'm still on a medium heat. If you want to and you're in the middle of it, you can turn the heat up. But slow is better with this soup because you really do extract the potato flavor from the soup. So we're going to bring that up to a boil. Once it's completely soft, the potatoes are nice and creamy and soft, sort of mash consistency. So if I can press it between my fingers or between 2 spoons and I can make mash out of it, that's the consistency I want from the sweet potatoes. Then I'll remove it from the heat and I'll blend it. I need to check the liquid from time to time to make sure that the potatoes are still in liquid. We are making a soup, we're not making mash. So we need to check that there's enough liquid on a regular basis. So the vichyssoise has now boiled for about 45 minutes. My potatoes are very, very soft. When I lift them up with my spoon, I can literally press them against the side of the pot and they go completely turning to mash, essentially. Now remember that we did a sweet potato vichyssoise. So our sweet potatoes are very soft and well cooked. And it already smells amazing. Okay, so that's still on the boil. We're going to add our soup blender. And we're going to blend this as smoothly as we can. Now that's going to take at least about 5 minutes, but I do want to take it off the heat, otherwise I'm going to damage my blender. So off the heat, and I start blending carefully at first, so we can expel any air bubbles that's trapped in the blender, and then we can just go. So that's now my soup blended completely. If you want to be very certain that it is completely smooth, you can pour this through a sieve. That'll get rid of any lumps, so you can strain it if you feel the need. Or just to be very sure that you are indeed serving a very smooth soup. Now my next step is to enrich it and to season it. So finally we get to season our soup. So I do need to start by tasting the soup first. Before adding any seasoning, I'm going to taste the soup as it is, putting it back on the heat. And I want to gently now just bring it back to a boil. So taste. It's quite sweet. It's quite sweet from the sweet potato, which is nice actually. Okay, so we're going to season it. And I'm starting with about 1/4 teaspoon of salt. And also 1/4 teaspoon of white pepper. Now the reason I'm using the white pepper is just because I don't want the little bits of the black pepper showing up in my soup, as this is meant to be a white soup. And now switching to a whisk, I want to incorporate my seasoning. Never season a cold soup or a cold sauce or anything like that, because when it's cold, your taste buds have a bit of a damper on the seasoning. You don't taste salt as good as you do when it's hot. So by seasoning a cold soup, you're going to season and season and season, and when you think it's ready, then you're going to heat it up. And when you heat it up, then you'll find that it's way too salty. So if you're going to serve the soup hot, make sure that you heat it up to boiling point, then season it. If you're serving it cold, then you can season it when it's cold. So bringing my soup is at a boil, a gentle boil. I don't have anything rough going here. It's just very bubbly. It's already cooked. I don't need to do anything else to it. I'm just seasoning it now. So I've added my salt. I've added my pepper. I'm going to give it another taste. I think I can put some more salt, and I'm going to add about 2 mils of salt now, which is equal to 1/4 teaspoon. Meanwhile,
all the way, this is on the boil. I never stop boiling this until I'm done and ready for service. Now I will add a half a cup of cream. You can use fresh cream, you can use long life cream, you can use a non-dairy cream, any cream, doesn't matter. And now it is important that I also reduce this very, very slightly. Cream is quite unstable with heat. So what could happen, if you boil this rapidly, the cream can separate, and that really doesn't look very nice. If this happened, don't worry, you can just use your blender, blend it up again, and it should come back together. So I've got my cream in, I just want to bring this back to a boil now. And then I'll taste it again for the seasoning, check if there's enough salt and pepper in. Also, if you feel that you do want it slightly sweeter, you're welcome to add some sugar. Although this is a sweet potato and it's already quite sweet, I wouldn't recommend adding more sugar. Okay, my soup is gone, started coming back to a very, very gentle boil. Now, I suppose I should call this a poaching, really, because it's just one bubble here and there. It's nothing rapidly boiling. Taste the soup, and that is absolutely perfect. Okay, so with the soup being finished now, we can talk about different possibilities, different ways of serving this up. We can serve a vichyssoise, which is the meager potato soup. We can either serve it as a hot soup, or on a warm summery day, we can serve it as a cold soup. Now, serving it as a hot soup, something that would work very nice with it, is either a crouton, which is just slices of bread that you deep fry, or even shallow fry in a pan with a bit of garlic to flavor them. And then sprinkle that on, so you've got a really rich, smooth, creamy base of a soup with some crisp on top in the form of the croutons. And then also maybe something like a parmesan bruschetta. So a slice of French bread, not too thinly sliced, but not too thick either. Just brush it with a bit of either garlic oil, or just rub it with a raw piece of garlic. Toast it under the salamander or in the grill in the oven, just until they go crispy. It must be rock hard, because then it's just going to be difficult to eat. And place some finely grated parmesan on top, put it under the salamander for another minute or so, and just let the parmesan melt, drop that on top, and you've got something delicious to serve with your soup.